Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And now we have GP Dr. Maura Finn joining us from County Clare. Good morning, Maura.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. We're talking about osteoporosis today.
Yeah.
So what is it, really? let's start there.
Okay, so osteoporosis is a disorder of bone. So what happens is the tissue changes and the bone architecture changes and it becomes weak and porous. Bone is a living tissue, which is kind of hard to get your head around. So what happens is, you know, there's cells that lay down new bone and there's cells that take away old bone, and it's constantly being remodeled. And we're at our peak bone density at around 25. And after that, it actually continues to kind of drop. So with osteoporosis, the bone becomes progressively more fragile, and fractures then are more inevitable, with even small, simple little falls can actually cause a fracture.
So it affects both men and women, but we know it's more prevalent in women, isn't it?
It is. It's far more prevalent in women. But actually, we do need to make sure, and I think it's men are underserved in this situation where we sometimes forget to look for it. Because with osteoporosis, we need to look for it. People rarely have any symptoms with early osteoporosis. They don't have pain or discomfort. It's when it progresses that it becomes evident. So, or very frequently, it's diagnosed after somebody has a fracture, which is obviously too late. So for women, maybe 40% of women, older women, will be at risk of osteoporosis, severe osteoporosis on a fracture. So we need to go looking for it. We need to actually kind of search for it, and especially for people who have a predetermined risk for it for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And who would those people be, or what risks might lead you to osteoporosis?
So there's many factors. Age is one of the biggest ones. Obviously, women are more at risk than men. Hormonal changes have a massive impact, particularly for women and postmenopausal women, because estrogen protects our bones or stops the remodeling being too aggressive. And if for a woman, not having the same amount of estrogen puts them at an increased risk of bone loss. A small frame will actually kind of make you more at risk of it. Family history, if a parent has had a fracture at an early age. Some medical conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, conditions that are often treated with steroids, oral steroid treatment. People who've had an eating disorder that would have caused them to have had a restricted amount of dairy intake or calcium and vitamin D intake at a young age, and therefore a low bone weight at a young age, will actually predispose them to osteoporosis as well.
Mm-hmm. And lifestyle factors then, and you mentioned some of them there, but if you are smoking and if your diet, as you mentioned, isn't great, you could be heading for trouble.
Absolutely. Smoking is one of the risk factors. Excess alcohol intake again. For some reason, if your mobility is affected, be it because of lifestyle issues or because of chronic illness or being, you know, restricted in your movement because of an ongoing illness, that'll affect osteoporosis, or your bone strength as well, and cause osteoporosis. Eating disorders, diet is a huge thing, and actually it's becoming a bigger issue, because an awful lot of people will have more restricted diets these days because of perceived issues around dairy intake or lactose intolerance. And some of them are very real and some of them aren't. And it's very important, if you do have a restriction in your diet for some reason, to make sure that you complement it with increased calcium and vitamin D,
and especially
for children.
And how do you get a diagnosis?
Well, we have to look for it. So what we use is a DEXA scan. So this is kind of low dose radiation, and it's like an X-ray, and it takes pictures of your spine and your hip generally, sometimes other areas too. And what you're looking at is how dense the bone looks. And if the figures are kind of a little bit funny, but normal is anything down to -1 in a T score. Then -1 to -2.5 is called osteopenia, which is a weakened bone, but not osteoporosis. But these are people that we really need to kind of keep an eye on. And then -2.5 and lower is osteoporosis. And once that's been identified, the patient also sometimes does what's called a FRACT score, where they take into account their own personal risk, maybe family history or smoking or alcohol or steroid use, things like that. And then we figure out how likely you are to have a fracture in the next 10 years. And then treatment is instigated as a result of those figures.
I have somebody who's been in touch with us who has osteopenia, who said they went for an x-ray and that didn't indicate any major issues, but they have severe pain in the knee and back, especially at night and when walking or climbing the stairs. Now, the GP has no idea regarding the pain and says no further action is required following the x-ray. What do you think, Maura?
Okay, well, that person seems to have been diagnosed with osteopenia, which I said is the weakened bones, but that is possibly a separate issue here, because if they have pain in their knee, it could be osteoarthritis. Now, this can be a bit confusing for people, but arthritis is the joints, is when two bones meet, and it's the articular surfaces of those and how the joint, the bones move. And that's a different issue to osteoporosis. Sometimes there's a connection between them, but if that person has a pain in their knee and the x-ray showed nothing of great concern, they probably have mild osteoarthritis, different to the osteopenia, and may even have muscular or ligament or cartilage issues that need to be treated slightly separately. So it's a slightly different issue to the osteopenia itself. But so the osteopenia, obviously, you know, the more active they are and the more the better they're managing their exercise and weight-bearing exercise and muscle growth will actually improve osteoarthritis as well. So mm-hmm. the two things can be aligned.
So would you say back to the doctor or up the exercise?
I'd say up the exercise if they can. If there's nothing shown on the x-ray, it would suggest that the osteoarthritis, which I would assume it is mild. And up the exercise, go to a physio, get some really kind of good weight-bearing exercise advice. Balance advice is really important too. Postural advice is really important. All of these things really help the bone strength, but also help you not fall, which is a really, obviously a very important thing. If you've got weak bones, you don't want to fall because you're more likely to fracture a hip.
Now, here's a man who he's 62 and he's been diagnosed with osteoporosis. Could it be possible that a large percentage of men have osteoporosis but are completely unaware of it and will only become aware if they fall and fracture a bone? And he wants to know, should men from families where a member has or has had the condition consider getting a DEXA scan as part of their routine medical checkup?
Absolutely. That's a really good point. And it's what I mentioned earlier. They are actually often underserved because we tend to do kind of routine checks with women around 50 because of the age of menopause, you know, and a DEXA scan in my practice anyway would be kind of a routine thing that we'd organise. But men, we don't look for it as actively. So definitely if there's a family history, that's one thing. Small frame would be another risk. Low testosterone levels would be linked to it as well. Corticosteroid use, so oral steroids for some reason. If they have overactive thyroid, celiac disease, issues that would may have meant that they had had poor mobility, like we said earlier, or restricted diet. So yes, all those factors apply to men and women equally. The hormonal issue is probably the reason why we look for it more actively in women, and it's the reason why it is actually so much more common in older women.
Here's an interesting one for you. Someone would like to know if osteoporosis can affect dental health, for example, the bony areas of the gums.
Yeah, this is very important, actually, and it's one of the issues around the treatment of osteoporosis. There is a very rare thing called osteonecrosis of the jaw that happens following the treatments with osteoporosis. So we frequently, before we start somebody on treatment, we often say you should go and get a dental check in case there's any further issues that might need to be dealt with pre-starting the treatment. But osteoporosis itself doesn't cause problems for the bone of the jaw. It's the treatment that can do it. But it's an incredibly rare thing. So, and it's much more likely with IV treatments for osteoporosis as opposed to the oral ones.
And what about HRT and osteoporosis? A question I have in front of me is, can HRT reverse osteoporosis?
Okay, unfortunately, there's nothing that has been proven to reverse osteoporosis, but HRT is a very good first-line treatment for people with osteopenia and when we've identified a risk of osteoporosis, because like I said, the reduction in the hormonal levels, the estrogen levels in particular, really does cause a very quick weakness of the bone. So it is the first-line treatment, which is great, because the other treatments, there's a bit of controversy about how long you can stay on them. Mm-hmm. So if we can kind of get somebody on HRT for maybe 5-10 years, you're helping their bones, and then they may need, they can go over to a bisphosphonate, one of the other treatments, and then onto something else if need be.
Yes, because I have somebody here who wants to know about the best non-injectable treatment for osteoporosis. Mary has been advised to take Prolia, from a tablet-based treatment of 10 years duration. So moving from the tablet to the injectable Prolia, and she's just concerned about side effects.
Okay, that's a perfect question in that it's impossible to give a perfect answer to it, because the oral tablet she would have been on would have been a bisphosphonate treatment. So they're the first line treatments, really, you know, HRT possibly, but then the bisphosphonates. There is questions around how long we can leave people on those treatments. 3 to 5 to 10 years would be considered normal, and we need to kind of re-scan them and see if there's an improvement or a disimprovement in their bone strength. Frequently then we move them over to a Prolia injection, which is a 6-monthly, very handy injection, but it is a different form of treatment. It's a monoclonal antibody, and some people are a little bit anxious about that. Now, it's generally well tolerated. It can cause some backache or rashes, and very infrequently urinary tract infections. But if somebody is still, if that lady is still at risk of osteoporosis and her T-scores are not good, it's a balance, it's a risk and benefit balance she needs to talk to her doctor about. And certainly she may be able to go on the Prolia for 2 or 3 years and back on the oral if need be. Mm-hmm. But there isn't a consensus agreement about treatment worldwide about it at the moment.
Here's an 82-year-old who took up yoga many years ago when she was given this news. Actually, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but clearly must have had a diagnosis of osteoporosis years ago. So now at 82, with the yoga stretches regularly, she keeps the symptoms at bay. That's good advice in itself, isn't it?
Oh, it's fabulous, yeah. And yoga is wonderful for flexibility and muscle strength. Now, it isn't what is first-line treatment for osteoporosis, because really what you say is weight-bearing exercise. So a lot of yoga is actually very stationary and slow-moving. So brisk walking is really wonderful for osteoporosis. Carrying light weights when you're walking will help a lot too. And there are really wonderful exercise programs, some of them online. The Irish Osteoporosis Society give great advice about this, about weight-bearing and balance exercises. But yoga is fabulous for flexibility and balance. So it's probably been a very good thing for her.
I just want to get this one in before we finish, because this listener asks, would the steroids I'm getting with chemotherapy damage my bones?
Possibly, yes. And I don't want to cause any more concern to that person, but frequently after chemotherapy, and chemotherapy drugs in general can be difficult for bones, but frequently what they do is give an infusion of a bone strengthening treatment, which is a bisphosphonate post chemotherapy, or, you know, on a yearly basis while somebody is having cancer treatment. So that will be looked at and taken into account, and your team will be very much on top of that. So don't be too concerned.
Maura, great advice as always, and lovely to talk to you again. That's Dr. Maura Finn there speaking to us from County Clare. Michael Gallagher has campaigned for justice since the day he lost his son Aidan in the OMA bomb. He'll join us to tell us why, despite what he's been through, the Good Friday Agreement still brings him hope for the future. That's coming up next.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.